Well, thank you, Pastor, and all of you for the opportunity to come and worship with you this morning and also to bring you this Gideon message. You're probably somewhat aware of the work of the Gideons. I think Gideons have been here probably maybe every year. I'm not sure. But I guess the main thing we want to emphasize is that the work of the Gideons really is all about Bibles. It's about getting Bibles out into the hands of people that need them at a time in their life when they really need to hear from Jesus. And 100% of any monies that are donated to the Gideons go directly for the purchase and distribution of those Bibles. Any administrative costs are taken care of by the dues that the Gideons pay. So that's a special emphasis of us that 100% of monies goes for the purchase of Bibles. And there are five principal areas where we hand out Bibles. One is in hotels and motels that look something like this, and there are a couple other versions of it, but they are complete Bibles or else the New Testament and Psalms as this one is. And then we also hand out testaments like this, pocket testaments. We have them in a variety of colors, lately now also camouflage, what the young kids seem to like. We hope they're not camouflage so they can't find them, but that they seem to like that concept of the camouflage. When I first became a Gideon, and I don't remember just how many years ago, it's actually quite a few now, but we were in 149 countries at that time, while currently we are in 196 countries, and so that continues to change quite rapidly, and I believe probably 91 or 92 languages. And the Gideon organization celebrated its 100th anniversary in 2008. And it took about 30 years for the organization to hand out their first 1 million Bibles. But currently we hand out 1 million Bibles worldwide in about 4.5 days. So you can see it's a greatly expanded ministry there. And so over the course of that history, we've given out now about 1.8 billion Bibles. And you might ask, well, who is receiving all of those Bibles? And many are testaments, like these small ones that I showed you there, and they're often in schools in third world countries. For example, just recently in Indonesia, 141,548 were given out. And in Malaysia, in I believe the same week, in what they called a Bible Blitz, there were 43,000 that were given out. And so, and it also is in this country, in New Jersey, and again in a Bible Blitz, there were over 40,000 Bibles given out. And in this country, we can't get into the schools just because of the situation that we have with government and separation of church and state and all of that. So they're given out in college campuses or in public places. And so the Gideons will go out again in what we call a Bible Blitz, and we'll just have the Bibles and ask if, you know, people would like them as they come by. And locally, our Little Falls Camp, as we refer to it, it's just a name of our group. This last year, we gave out 262 Bibles and 1,700 testaments. And the largest number of those this last year were given out at the Morrison County Fair in Little Falls. There were 560 Bibles given out at that event. And besides receiving offerings from churches and contributions from Gideon members, we also use what we used to call the Memorial Bible Program. And I noticed when I came in, you do have a card rack. And I apologize, I was going to have some extras to put in there. I see you're a little short of the memorial cards. And so I'll try to get word to somebody from this area to get that up there. But that's another means where we receive monies for Bibles. And so, you know, in passing of somebody in memory, you, if you choose to donate in that way, that money again purchases Bibles. So we used to call that the Living Memorial Bible Program because it memorializes that person with the living word. And let's see. Okay, yeah, and currently they call them Gideon Expressions, and we just try to modernize them a little bit, but they can again be a good tool. Ecclesiastes 11:4 states, if you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you'll never plant anything and you'll never harvest anything. And you may ask, you know, what's that got to do with this message? But I think it has a lot to do with the Gideon message and maybe also about our own personal witnessing. You know, that perfect time maybe doesn't arrive, but if we're regularly about it, getting God's word out there, talking to people about Christ on a regular basis, it will have an impact. You know, and some of these Bibles, you know, may be dusty and not often read in some hotels or whatever, and some of these testaments may even end up in the junk. But many, many others are not, and they impact lives. And so I've got a couple short testimonies, and your insert has a few more there, but I've got a couple that I'll just share with you at this time. Printed them off for myself here. Eddie, a Gideon, entered a school in the Philippines and was greeted by one of the teachers. He asked her if Gideons could present each of the staff and students with a copy of God's word. "Yes," exclaimed the teacher immediately, and she beamed with joy. "May I show you something?" she asked. She then reached into her large school bag that she had carried with her and pulled out a worn and ragged Gideon Place scripture that she had received in 1985. What a trophy this was in our Heavenly Father's sight. This New Testament had touched many hands and souls and was the only copy of God's word on the entire school property. It had brought many souls to a saving knowledge of Christ and had helped many to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many tears of joy were shed as each teacher and student received their own copy of God's precious word this wonderful day. One night, I sat in my hotel room, totally defeated by self and sin. Through my excesses, my health was deteriorated, my family was rupturing, and my business was ruined. In my loneliness and desperation, I picked up a Gideon Bible and began to read. The Spirit of God used the Word of God to bring me to repentance and faith. I had entered that hotel room totally defeated. I left it the next morning wholly delivered. God's grace in Christ had conquered my life, and I went on to become a Bible teacher, and then God called me into the ministry. It's not the arguments of scholars that transforms lives, but the availability of the Bible to seekers. This is the strength in the ministry of the Gideon, signed John. And the last one I'll give is kind of a personal one that I can share. It may be 20 years ago now, but I was giving a presentation like this in a small church in Bertram, Minnesota, which is down south, more in the area where I live. And after I concluded that, the pastor, whose name was Pastor Sabatka, stepped forward and he said, "You know, I can really lend witness to what I had said." He said when he was going into the service, at that time it was the Vietnam War was going on, he received one of those little testaments. He was a non-believer, but for whatever reason, he put it in a pocket and continued to carry it with him. And then he shared that when he was in some of the heat of the battle there and things were desperate, he remembered that testament. And so then later when he had opportunity, he pulled it out. And God, through his Spirit, you know, touched him at that time and changed his life. And he said, you know, that he continued to then seek God. And eventually he was a pastor there again because of, he said, how he was touched at a time when he really needed to be. And so that's really what it's all about. It's, you know, we may take for granted, we may have several copies of the Bible and you've got a fine Christian fellowship here and pastor. But, you know, the majority of people don't have that opportunity. And so when they need to personally hear from God, for whatever the circumstance, you know, our goal is to have a Bible within reach so that they can be touched. And God's Spirit does all the work. And so that's basically what the Gideon work is all about. And so there are a couple ways where you can participate in that. One is we really do covet your prayers, and we realize, you know, you maybe aren't going to pray for the Gideons every day, but maybe if you're traveling or something and you go to a hotel or motel and see one of these Bibles, you might pray that it and other Bibles will be fruitful and that people's lives would be touched. And then also, as the pastor said, should you choose to, you can contribute as you leave today, and then knowing that that will definitely be purchasing Bibles. And then also, if we're kind of an aging, and believe it or not, I'm kind of one of the younger. I mean, there are some other younger ones, but as a local camp, we're a pretty aging group. So if the Lord touches your heart that maybe this is something that you would like to do, we would surely welcome that. And so you can pray about that, and we're just down in Little Falls. And so, again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and I really have been enjoying my time worshiping with you and the fine spirit you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for volunteering to do this and coming to see us today. And speaking of Bibles, if you have one, get it out. We'll turn to John 15. It's a very, very popular passage. I think that most of you know it very well. And I have referred to it from time to time, but this is what the Lord has given me again today. I just finished reading a book by Gene Wood. I met Gene several years ago. Got his book, never read it till a week or two ago. Decided it was time. His book is entitled Leading Turnaround Churches. And in his church, he said, or in his book, he said that one Sunday night after church, he and his wife and three kids had been in the church service, and they decided before they go home, they're going to get something to eat. Well, they decided that they should stop and get fried chicken. After, he said, he writes, after arriving at the drive-up window and hearing the voice come through the, he called it the squawk box, may I help you? He simply said, we would like an order of white meat. To which the voice coming through the box says, we don't have any white meat. Taken a little bit back, he said, well then, we'll take an order of dark meat. To which the voice over the box come back and said, we don't have any dark meat. He looked to his wife and wrote in his book, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'm at a major chicken place. So he said, okay, he speaks into the box, then we'll take five Big Macs. To which the voice says, you know we don't serve hamburgers. He finally said, if you don't have chicken, what have you got? Well, we have fries, we have onion rings, we have mashed potatoes, we have soft drinks, we have corn on the cob. Gene didn't write whether they ordered or not. But here's what he did say. Too often, the church falls into the same dilemma. Hear me now. Here's his quote. We offer up side dishes of support groups and music and libraries and children's programs and recreational activities, but week after week after week goes by and seldom are lost people brought into the kingdom. We are lacking the main thing. End quote. I don't know if that speaks to you, but it spoke to me. It challenged me in a new way to never forget why we exist. I'm not just talking about the Motley Free Methodist Church. That's where we've gathered today. But I am talking about the Church of God. We exist to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus to the lost world around us. And he reminds us over and over in this book, way too oftentimes, and I'm not saying we're guilty of that today here at all. I'm just saying his book is dead on when you look around society and suggests that in church houses where we're looking for a refuge, a lighthouse, a beacon of hope, eternal survival. We offer up side dishes and forget the main thing. And so, I was thinking about that this week. And I just wanted to mention this before we look at John 15. God is at work. Amen? God is at work. Whether we want to come alongside of His work or not, God is at work. I just happen to believe that He challenges the church, the people of God all over the globe, to come alongside Him, our Heavenly Father, in what He is doing and be part of the harvest. I think that's what He's called us to do. And so, like I said, this spoke to me this week. I didn't read this book until after I wrote the May newsletter. Did you read the May newsletter, anybody? Oh, that's disappointing. Wow. Could I get one hand? Thank you. In the May newsletter, for those of you that took it home but didn't read it, and those of you that weren't here the day when we handed out, in the May newsletter on the first page, I challenged us why we exist. I talked to us a little bit about worship, why we come on Sunday mornings. And I challenged us a little bit, I reminded us, I should say, why people of God exist, and including us at Motley Free Methodist Church. Why we exist, to bring glory to God by loving Him with a passion, as Jesus said is the greatest commandment, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And that love is a verb kind of love that takes action and shows our neighbor that Jesus is real. That's why we exist. Amen? That's why we exist. That newsletter is online, by the way, in case you missed it. It's still available. John 15. Jesus writes this very well-known passage to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see what he's saying, brothers and sisters? We cannot bear kingdom fruit until we have been attached to the vine. We cannot bear fruit until we have come to know Jesus. Better put, John 3, Jesus to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And until we are, we cannot bear fruit for the kingdom. And when we have been born again, per this passage and others, we are expected individually and as a church to bear fruit for the kingdom. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus said. This is what brings glory to God the Father, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit, people of God. Churches of our communities and all over America, this is what brings God glory, that God's people bear fruit. There's a quote in Gene Wood's book that I think is noteworthy. Tim's going to put it on the big screen for you to see. I'll read it, but I just wanted you to see it because I think it's powerful. I think it's noteworthy. people of God, we are called to walk in obedient fellowship to such a degree He can produce fruit through us. That's the bottom line. We, when we have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when we have been born again, are called by Jesus. The New Testament is full of this example. We are called to walk in obedient fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, to be in such obedient fellowship that He can produce fruit through you and I, through the church. That's what He calls us to do. I like facts. You know that because I like to share facts once in a while. Gene had some facts in his book. Here's what he writes from the Barna Group. There's about 350,000 churches in America today. Of that 350,000 churches in America, some 60,000 report not one single convert in a year's time. This is according to some Barna study. 60,000 churches with zero that come to know Jesus in a year's time. 60,000 churches. As many as 85% of the American Protestant churches are plateaued and declining. 85% of today's churches are plateaued and declining. We are closing 72.1 churches per week in America. Yes, you'll say, well, we're planning just as many. No, we are planning, but we're not planning anywhere near that many. We're planning somewhere 72 a week. That's 10 a day, I guess, right? We're planting 10 a day. We're losing 10 a day. We're planting 3 a day. We're losing 7 a day. We're losing 72 churches a week in America. They're closing their doors. I was in Janesville, Wisconsin yesterday morning for a board of administration meeting, and I heard from our church planting expert. He's a young fellow of 32, but he's a bright guy. And he was sharing with us yesterday that of the millennials, you know what age category that is? Who knows what the millennials are? Nobody? Say it again. Yes, the 20-some-year-olds, 30 and down. The millennials. Of the millennials in America today, 4% are going to church. People of God, as Gene Wood writes, we are called to walk in obedient fellowship. He's not just talking about an hour on Sunday morning. Obedient fellowship in everyday living. Farming, factory, housewife, somewhere in between. We are called to walk in obedient fellowship to such a degree He can produce fruit through us, individually and corporately. We need to be walking with Jesus. I think that's what He meant when He said, you are salt of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. When I read these statistics and hear these statistics, I think that if and when the church of Jesus Christ will walk in obedient fellowship to such a degree that God is producing fruit through us, and churches then are not closing, they are growing, they are planting new ones, people are being introduced to Christ, lives are being transformed by God, miracles are happening, and the church is growing and bearing fruit, exactly like Jesus challenged us to do. Verse 2, He reminds us, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. I'm not exactly sure what He means by that, okay? Let me be honest. I think it goes right along with Revelation 2:5 when he was talking to the church at Ephesus. And he said to the church at Ephesus, which I think he's saying to the church today, remember from the heights from which you have fallen and repent and come back to your first love, or I will remove your lampstand. I think it has the same thing to do with that. And I don't know what remove means, but I don't want any part of being removed. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He takes it away. He removes it. But every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Why? So it'll bear more fruit. Just like cultivating your crop. Just like cultivating your gardens. You take care of it. You prune it. You fertilize it. You dig it up. You water. Why? So it'll bear more fruit. And that's what He does with the church. It is God's desire, brothers and sisters, that the church bear fruit. Fruit for the kingdom. It is God's desire that individuals bear fruit. It's really, really quite clear that fruit bearing is expected of followers of Jesus. He talks about different levels of fruit. In verse 2, he talks about mere fruit when he says, and every branch that bears fruit, that's mere fruit. It's doing something. And he also talks in verse 2 about more fruit. When it is doing something, he says he prunes it that they may bear more fruit. And in verse 5 and in verse 8 both, he talks about bearing much fruit. Now let me just close this because time's about done. We're going to build a building. We're going to build a church. To God be the glory. But we cannot and we must not lose sight of why we exist. We cannot, even during building projects, when it's going to get a little hectic, and it's going to get a little cluttered, and it's going to get a little confusing, and it's going to get, well, quite frankly, unaccommodating perhaps. We cannot lose the sight of the fact of why we exist. And that is point people to the cross at Calvary and to the saving knowledge of Jesus. The adversary would like nothing better than to come into our midst and to have us be too busy to pray. Sometimes we may be there now, too busy to pray. The adversary would not like nothing better than to come along in a building project and have people at odds with each other, fighting and disunity. The devil would like nothing better for us to be divided on very petty issues, very minor things, and just be at odds with each other. The adversary would like that. But God challenges us through thick and thin, through building projects and regular days to bear fruit. That's what God expects for His people, to bear fruit. This next week, you may very well see the front doors sealed off. Not for good, though. Only to have a temporary door. There may be some inconvenience. You're going to see a new ramp, maybe this week. Because from those front doors out there, it's all going to get roped off real, real soon for the next 6 months or more. There may be some inconvenience. There may be some parking challenge. There may be a color that somebody don't like. There may be. Suppose that could happen. There may be some dissatisfied folks because, well, I didn't get this and I didn't get that and you didn't ask me this and you didn't ask me that. Let us do this, brothers and sisters. Let us remember why we are here. This is God's church. This is God's This is God's ministry, and we're going to build a church to His glory, and we're going to continue to do what He's called us to do, and that is to bear fruit for the kingdom. That's what we're going to do. And so, through this upcoming 6 months or so, where it could get a little challenging from time to time, you may come and find somebody has parked in your spot. Or sat in your pew. Horror of horrors. Let us not forget why we exist. Amen? To bear fruit. To point people to the cross at Calvary and to the saving knowledge of Jesus, and as a people of God, to be holy and righteous and filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what He has called the church to. Someday, every person will stand before the living God. We may die first and go to heaven. The Lord may return. We may be killed, but someday every one of us are going to stand before Almighty God. And I just wonder, friends, what will He say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant, into the joy of the Lord? Or will He say, depart from me, I never knew you? It's one or the other. This little song on page 237 reminds us we're going to meet Jesus someday. And I would prefer for me and for you and really everybody else in our communities, our families, in the world, that we would meet Jesus and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if we never get ready on this side of death, if we never surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we meet God, He's only going to have one word for us. Depart from me, I never knew you. And I just wonder this morning, friends, as we're singing this song, there's going to come a time, as this song says, we shall behold Him. We shall behold Him. We're going to see Him. One way or another, we're going to see Him. I just wonder, are you ready? If you're not, I'm just encouraging you to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. You say, "Jim, I go to church." Praise God, I'm glad you do. Have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? There's no other way to heaven but Jesus. Friends, I just pray that if you're wondering about that, you'll stop and see me, or you'll pray today. Surrender to the Lord Jesus today. Give your heart and life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, once again you've challenged me, and I trust that you have challenged us as your people to be fruit bearers. Thank you for the words of Jesus. You care enough about us to give your life that we might be born again, that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed, that we might be a new creation. And you care enough about us that you prune us that we might bear fruit. And that we might bear much fruit to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Thank you for caring about us that way, Lord Jesus. Thank you for caring about us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being willing to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the church. Yes, this group of believers, but way beyond. I pray for the church. Father God, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be faithfully obedient to you, that through your church, a hurt and dying world sees Jesus. And so, Father, as we go from this place, whether we go to class downstairs or we go to home or we go to travel or whatever we're going to do next, Father, I pray into this week as we go, we would be mindful as your children, as your church. Help us to be fruit bearers, knowing that we cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus the vine. We must be grafted into Jesus first. We must be born again. But help us to, when we have come to know Jesus, help us to remember we are fruit bearers by your Spirit's leading to glorify our Father in heaven. Thank you again for everyone here, Father. Thank you again for Gideon Rep Steve, his volunteering to be with us today. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that as you lay it upon folks' heart to lay something on his Bible, to produce more Bibles so more people can read your word and come to know Jesus and bear fruit, we'll give you the glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.